So we talked this morning about hidden mysteries, and we're going to talk this evening about revealed glory, because that's why God hides, in order to reveal. And what he hides is the most glorious. For all eternity, up until around 2,000 years ago, the most glorious thing that has ever existed was hidden. And then Jesus came into the world. The radiance of the Father's glory, the exact imprint of his nature. And I believe you and I need to see and live more and more in the connection between the gospel and God's eternal purpose. I don't know what you think of when you think of the gospel. Is it something that you can kind of reduce down to a formula or a way of talking to someone about Jesus, or a kind of a brief message that kind of explains that, you know, hey, you're a sinner, but, you know, Jesus will forgive you? The gospel is something huge and vast beyond anything that we can comprehend. And we're going to jump. You all remember Ephesians 3, don't you? We reread that this morning. Everyone still with that? Good. I'm going to make to some references to some stuff that's in there. And you can just trust me that it's there, or you can find it on the page while we're going. But I want to read you one of the most outstanding expressions, I believe, of the gospel that we can find in the scripture. And it's from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. But I'm reading from the J.B. Phillips translation. I don't know whether any of you have that. Probably none of you have it with you, but I don't know whether any of you have it at home. My wife said you can find it online. What was the website that you had it on? Bible Gateway. Okay. It says this, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10. For he has rescued us from all that is really evil and called us to a life of holiness. Not because of any of our achievements, but for his own purpose. Before time began, he planned to give us in Christ the grace to achieve his purpose. But it is only since our Savior Christ Jesus has been revealed that the method has become apparent. For Christ has completely abolished death and has now, through the gospel, opened up to us men the shining possibilities of the life that is eternal. I love that phrase. The shining possibilities of the life that is eternal. You see, the eternal purpose of God is what the gospel is designed to produce. And God wants you and I to live in the shining possibilities of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? You see, the gospel is a doorway, but not a doorway to get you into heaven. It's a doorway to bring the realities of heaven down into earth. I have an ambition. My ambition is to not go to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. I just don't want to go there. I believe it's a godly ambition. It's not because I want to go to the other place. You see, I believe it should be the godly ambition of everyone who's been captured by the eternal purpose of God, that in our generation, we see him return and bring all the realities of heaven, that the heavens and the earth cease to be two separate places and become one new place, the new heavens and the new earth. You know this glorious house, the church filled with his glory we've been talking about? In the beginning of Revelation chapter 21, John begins to describe, he says, I saw the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city of God, the church, the bride coming down out of heaven. And, you know, he's talking about you. But, you know, he begins that chapter by saying, he said, I saw the new heavens and the new earth. And then the only thing he describes is the city. Have you ever noticed that? He says, I saw the new heavens and the new earth. Now, the existing heavens are unimaginably vast. When Jesus comes and makes all things new, he's not going to obliterate everything. Okay, a lot of Christians have a kind of a Death Star Alderaan scenario for what's going to usher in the age to come. I feel a deep disturbance in the force. It's not a destruction, it's a transformation. And what God has already created is so unimaginably vast. And John saw the renewed, transformed heavens and earth. But then the only thing he described is the city of God. Why? Because everything that is represented in this glorious house has the defining qualities and characteristics of the new heavens and the new earth. Because it's just going to be one place. It's going to be the place where God dwells with mankind. It's going to be the place where we're in perfect union and unity with him. So I don't want to go to heaven. I want to be around when heaven comes to earth. I want to be part of the generation that sees his glory fill the earth. And you know what? If I don't achieve that, I get a grandstand view to see it happening. Because when he returns, all those that have died will be coming with him.
That's right.
Okay. Ephesians 3 times mentions the plan of God. I want to talk to you about the plan of God. In the scripture up here, it says, the method has become apparent. Now in Christ, the method has become apparent. Ephesians 1:10 says that God's plan is set forth in Christ. Ephesians 3:2 says it's entrusted to the apostles. And Ephesians 3:9-10 says it's now made known through the church. If we want to understand what God is doing, we just need to look at Jesus. Okay, when he came into the world, he was a living, breathing demonstration of the plan of God. He was a living, breathing demonstration of the gospel. He was a living, breathing demonstration of the shining possibilities of eternal life. Why do we need apostles and prophets? It's a significant day today in the life of this family and this house. Because God is releasing something. He's releasing a new season. It doesn't just affect two men, it affects a whole house. Because there's an entrustment to apostles and to those that gather around the apostles. There's an entrustment to them of the plan of God. There is a plan. There is a purpose. And you're part of it. Paul writes to the Corinthians. The Corinthians of all people, for crying out loud. Paul's worst church. And he writes to them. I don't know.
Probably.
I would have. I don't know, maybe the Galatians, but you know. And he says, you are our letter of recommendation. Okay, and you guys here are the living, breathing letter of recommendation of the ministry of these men. And actually, God is making known his plan. He's entrusting it to the apostles, and they are making it known. And right here in this room is the evidence of what he's making known. Okay? That you are part of that. You're not just involved in it, but you're on display. Because Ephesians 3, 9, and 10 says that it's now through the church that he's displaying. Steve touched on this earlier. It's now. It's with God, it's always now.
Yes.
With God, it's always now. He introduced himself that way to Moses. I am. Yeah? I'm the God of right now. I'm the God of right now. And part of the gospel is that realization in Christ that God is saying, it's right now. On Wednesday, I was sitting at home in England, and I received a message, a picture from Steve of him and Johnny doing unspeakable things to geese. And there was blood, and there was a body, and there was a head that wasn't any longer attached to the body. And he said, you should have been here today. And I replied, no, I'm coming at just the right time, just like Jesus. Jesus came into the world at just the right time. And you know what? Right now is just the right time. It's just the right time for us. It's just the right time for what God is doing in your cities. It's just the right time for what God is doing in this nation. It's just the right time for what God is doing in this world. And you, he is saying, here, I want you to see. Here, angels, look at this. I want you to see. He said, here, demons, look at this. I want you to see. And they go, we don't want to see that. He says to the rulers and authorities, here, look at this. This is what I want you to see. He says to human authorities and governments, look at this. And already they're coming and saying, teach us your ways. Isaiah 2, it's going to happen more and more. Okay, the kings will come and say, teach us your ways. and the word will go out from Zion. He's putting us on display right now. And what's he displaying? It says he's displaying the multifaceted, the multicolored wisdom of God. And you know, the glory of God. You guys, you know, you're all highly educated, so you know that when we see white light, it's made up of a whole range of different colors. That when you put them together, and one of the ways you can split it up is you can get kind of like a crystal or something, can't you? As the light shines through, different colors shine off the different surfaces. Yeah. And that's the word that's used here to describe the multifaceted or the manifold wisdom of God. It says light shines off in different directions and different colors. It's the multicolored wisdom of God. And God's glory is fully seen when everyone in the church radiates that particular color that is unique to them because of the work of grace that God has done in their lives. And as they all shine together, you're left with this overwhelming vision of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Now, through the church, he's displaying his multicolored wisdom. Now the method has become apparent. How many people would have chosen you? How many of you would have chosen yourself? How many of you would have looked around and go, yeah, if I was God, this is how I'd do it. Isn't it great that God chooses to make his wisdom known by making things look dumb? Yeah? It's the foolishness of God.
It is.
It's wiser than the wisdom of men.
Yeah.
And he is going to display more and more his wisdom through you and through me. Never worry about looking dumb. Never worry about looking stupid. Yeah, I'm a living testimony of that, obviously, so. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Missed the cue. You know what? It doesn't matter because I'm still on the mountaintop, so I'm just... Okay, the eternal purpose in Christ. The eternal purpose in Christ. Wow. His own purpose. He has given us, we read, the grace to achieve his purpose. Sometimes we think, wouldn't it be great if I had the grace to achieve my own purpose? Wouldn't it just be great if I had the ability and the wherewithal to make a plan and achieve it? Wouldn't that be fantastic? And we look at someone like Sarah Wilkins and all that she's achieved in this place and getting stuff ready for this conference. And say, man, that's the grace of God on her to achieve that purpose. And that's fantastic and wonderful. But here's the thing I can't get my head around. He's given us the grace to achieve his purpose. Yeah. How did... the grace to achieve his purpose. God's grace. Anyone here in here reformed? God's grace is... I'm a 4.5 pointer, but God's grace is irresistible. Irresistible. Not just his saving grace, but his grace to achieve his purpose is irresistible. All I got to do is give in. Yeah? Okay, I think we can sum up God's eternal purpose in Christ in these three phrases. All things made possible. It starts with that, all things made possible. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, all things were made possible. It was a new day of possibilities, the shining possibilities of eternal life. Possible, the word possible in the Greek language is the word dynatos. Okay, dynatos. It sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like something ought to happen with that word around. Turn to the great thing about this is it's not just a verb, it's also a noun. Look at this, Romans 15:1. I don't know whether this is, I don't think I put this up on the screen, but I just want to read this. All things made possible. The new day of the Spirit, the new possibilities. Nothing will be impossible, said Jesus, for those who believe. With man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Romans 15:1. We who are strong, the word strong there, dynatos, the same, possible. We who are the possible people, men and women of the Holy Spirit, are God's possible people. You are a living, breathing possibility. Because you're just a vessel for the Holy Spirit, and He does exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine. He raised Jesus from the dead. He hovered over the waters of the sea to enact every word that God spoke. And you are His possible people. Wherever you go, you're a living, walking possibility. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible for him who believes. We are that possible people. The next thing he wants to do, this, all things made possible, now he wants all things to be made visible. Why does he give us the Holy Spirit? Why does he give us this unlimited, unbounded, dynamic energy of the Holy Spirit? Because he wants to show something. He wants to make visible Jesus Christ in this world. I believe that when Jesus returns, there won't be a person on the planet who doesn't recognize him. Not just those who've put their faith in him. But I believe when he returns, though, everyone will look at him and go, he looks really familiar. Because the people of God will have presented such a clear expression of the image of Christ in the world. I like to take that as, you know, when it says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the earth. It's not just a message. The gospel of the kingdom is not just a message, is it? It's an embodied, revealing, turning the lights on, bright expression of reality that I believe every community across the face of our world will have a one-on-one interaction with the restored, revealed image of Christ within a covenant community. I'm sorry if I've just made the task seem much bigger to you. But you know, when I go to India, Steve and I are going to India in February. Slightly nervous about flying on the same plane with him because I want to arrive with my bags. There are parts of that nation with men and women that I know and call my friends that you can go literally from one village to the next village, and you can see the next village from that village, and you'll arrive and there's another church. And you can go to the next village, and you can look down the road, you can see the last village, and in the next village, there's another church. And you can keep doing that, and doing that, and doing that. There was nothing 35 years ago, there was effectively zero Christians in that region. Today, there are 400,000. It's not really possible, it's happening. Yeah? This is the same world. The Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. This is a global move of the Holy Spirit. All things made visible. The new man, this one embodiment of Christ through his church, revealed to the world. And then Revelation 21, verse 5, John hears a voice from the throne saying, "Behold, I am making all things new." You see, because of the outpouring of the Spirit, all things are possible. Because of the embodied witness of the Spirit-filled church, all of God that God is intending to do is being made visible. And because we have someone on the throne who is still working, yes. He's still working.
That's right,
he sat down, but he didn't put his feet up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I'm making all things new, he said.
Right.
All things are being renewed. All things are being transformed.
Yeah.
There is nothing within this creation that God does not want to transform through the presence of his Spirit, through his church. We're still up on the mountaintop. We're coming down before the end of the meeting, I promise you. The world needs a people. The world needs a people that know how to go up mountains and how to come down them. The world needs a people who know how to end meetings. Yeah? Do you ever feel that like you kind of build to a, maybe you guys don't, because I think you guys do this quite well, but many, many churches I've been in, the meeting kind of builds to a climax, and then nothing happens. We may drink some coffee. And I think, well, that was great. I had this wonderful kind of encounter with God, but, you know, hey, oh, okay, let's just go and carry on with life. Yeah, there's a shape. If you're going up the mountain, come down the mountain. If you're going into the presence, come out of the presence. Why? Not because you don't want to be in the presence anymore. Not because you don't want to be on the mountaintop anymore. Not because you've had enough of encounter. But because there's a purpose. It's his purpose.
Yes.
His purpose that he's given us the grace to achieve It's about laying hold of that stuff and going and taking it out into the world. That's what the house of his glory, that's what glory in the church looks like. Glory in the church looks like the glory escaping out of the church. Isaiah has this vision of the house of God, and he says, the doorposts and the thresholds were shaking because the house was so full of the glory, and they kept shaking. I know that was in eternity, but in human years, it kept shaking all the way from when Isaiah saw it until Acts chapter 2. And finally, the glory broke out of this brand new temple that had just been formed a few days before. That was only made up of 120 living stones at that point. But the glory escaped. The glory of God wants to escape from this place. The glory of God wants to escape from your life. All things made new. Okay, let's open the scriptures. We are going to just read a few verses in Ephesians 3. And then we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to do some stuff. I believe God just put on my heart as we were worshiping. He wants to give a tangible expression of his glory amongst us tonight. And one of the things that we're going to do is that we're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover this evening. Just beginning to stir you in that. All of you are going, oh Lord, thank you, praise God. Praise God for all the people that are going to be healed when Matthew puts his hands on them. I don't think that's how we're going to do it somehow. Glory in the church. Yeah, especially when it's somebody that lives 4,000 miles away. You know, we'll oh no. In the church, we are going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Yes, we will.
This evening.
Yeah.
He wants to give a tangible demonstration of what he's doing, of what glory in the church looks like. Ephesians 3:13. Okay, three references to glory. First of all, Paul says, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. Glory comes through suffering. Steve was talking earlier about being dead. I shared in India just 3 weeks ago. We were looking at what does it mean to be a prophetic people. Pulled a load of stuff out of Acts chapter 3. And just took the idea that Peter illustrates several times in the book of Acts and also in his letters that the prophets spoke of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. There's a sequence, and it's very obvious in Christ. It was the cross and then the resurrection and then this. You are the glories that follow. But Paul says, I'm making up in my own body what was lacking in the sufferings of Christ. He didn't mean anything redemptive.
Right.
Yeah? There is nothing lacking in Christ's suffering when it comes to redemption. But in terms of seeing the glory of God revealed through the church, it comes oftentimes through suffering.
Yep.
We shared about this in India, and a brother called Moses returned to Jharkhand, where he leads a whole group of churches, sent us a report that while he was on his way home, a mob of young Hindu nationalists had gone into the church, one of the churches with him, and beaten everybody. Four were in hospital. And then when we were together again in Bergen in Norway just last week, and Steve and Mike and myself and a number of brothers, Chanakram was there, I said, how are those four people? He said, one of them died. But you know, the glory of God is being revealed. The glory of God. Paul says, I don't want you to be upset about the fact I'm in prison. As far as we know, Paul ultimately lost his life because of the gospel. But he says it's for your glory. It's for seeing the glory of God revealed through the church. I feel such a strong sense in this conference. There's been so much joy and so much fun, but time and time again, God has brought us back to this, hasn't he? I really feel there's a counting the cost. That if we're really ready and prepared and sincere in our hearts to say, Lord, you have my life, that we are going to see such a release of the power of the presence of God, of miracles, signs and wonders, of numbers coming to the Lord like we've never seen before. I just really feel, I feel so challenged myself on this, and I just really feel that it's a real divine opportunity moment for you as a house to say yes to God. I just feel right now there's some things that the Spirit's putting to death in some of you. I think there are some human ambitions that have maybe masqueraded as things of God, that the Holy Spirit just right now, he's kind of going, taking that one. If he's doing that in you, just let him do that. Just say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you call him Lord, the only way thing you can say is yes. Yes, Lord. Paul prays, for this reason I bow on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, the riches of his glory, the riches. We talked about that temple earlier. It was nothing. The riches of his glory. Every resource that God has, every good thing that is in the Father's treasury, the riches of his glory, that he may grant you from that, strengthened with power through your inner spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. His glory is our source of strength, our source of love, our source of faith, and it's bringing about this demonstration, this expression of his fullness, God being fully seen in the earth. What would you give for a glimpse of Jesus? And yet he says, I want to fully reveal myself through you, not to you, through you. The riches of his glory reside in you, because they're nothing other than Christ. And I just sense that, just like Isaiah's vision, there's such a fullness of the presence of the glory of God within this house and within each of your lives, that God is like, I can't stay in here much longer. I've got to break out. I've got to break out through sign and through wonder. I've got to break out through miracle. I've got to break out through words that come and confound the powers of darkness. I've got to break out through words that are spoken and demons flee. I've got to break out through words of blessing that are spoken and just transform lives and communities. And can you feel it? It's by faith, but you know, we can feel it as well, can't we? Some of you can kind of feel it in your bodies. Some of you can just feel it in your spirit. Man, there is going to be such a testimony coming. Such a testimony coming. Just right now. There's a healing happening right now, I believe. Someone with a neck problem. Not just kind of like a little twinge or something. I believe in the room right now, there's some kind of fairly serious problem with a neck. Right now, God's just, his glory's breaking out. Bringing healing. Bringing fullness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're finished. Well, I finished talking with this. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. There is no distinction between the glory that is in Christ and the glory that is in the church. The Lord says, I do not share my glory with another. You know what? You're no longer another. You've been joined. You've been brought in. You have been united with Christ. I'm not saying we're God. You know, I'm not saying that. But we aren't foreigners. We aren't strangers. We aren't aliens. We aren't another to God. He calls us holy. Holy means godness. When we see him, we'll be like him. For we will see him as he is. Just where you are, just open your heart now. If you can't open it any wider. I don't know. I just know that there's such a pregnancy of the presence of God across the room. God is, for some, he's breaking in, but for all of us, he wants to break out. You just let the Holy Spirit do some work right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.